Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, he said good morning from Phoenix, Arizona, where it will hit 90 degrees today. Listen, Tom, be very grateful that you are the age that you are and you have the ability to be in Phoenix, because quite frankly, it's all I can think about right now.
How about that?
Do you know how many snowbirds are stuck up here right now? For whatever reason, not being able to get out of Canada into the warm locales.
November's like the worst month to be stuck here.
Yep.
At least by January, February, you're used to it.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, welcome, everybody. Welcome, Canada, to another red letter day on the RP Show. And Canadian sports fans around the world, as Gary in Winnipeg has pointed out, welcome Game Plus Network to RP Show number 400. Wow. Out of the gate. As industry insiders have said to us, you are now proven. And I thought, I'd like to think that I was proven before the show even started.
I know.
But here we are.
I walk out there into the lobby area and see all the memorabilia, and there's the lid of the pizza box that reminds me of the 100th show. That was in television. That's always the moment you've made it, right? If you can survive your program to 100 shows, you're probably moving on.
So we set sail on show number 400, and you guys had to use the Arizona intro, huh? I just noticed it's 25 degrees Celsius sunny in Phoenix, Arizona, Friday. Can you believe that? Amazing. Doesn't that have you thinking about hockey? Which reminds me, hour one of the program, Mike Richards was with us from Saga 960, Mississauga. It was so great. Coming up this hour, Dave Randorf. You all know him. You love him. Rambo, now the television voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They got off the snide with a big 5-1 win over Chicago last night at Amalie Arena. So Rambo coming up. But let's jump right into the Quick Six Show topics, please. Director Jordan, thank you. There you go. Number one, opening night in the National Hockey League. Here are your winners. Toronto, Vancouver, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, and the St. Louis Blues. There are so many things coming out of night one in the National Hockey League. We talked about what's going on, what went on the ice, what went on off the ice in broadcast. It was just a really big night. I was watching, obviously, Canadians Leafs, and when they were lined up along the blue lines and they dimmed the lights and the anthem singer came on, I was like, "There, it doesn't get better than this." Leafs Habs, because that's what I was raised on. Listen, kids, there was a time there was only one game a week on television. You weren't alive for that, were you? One game a week. And it was usually the Leafs and the Habs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a rhetorical question. He was born in 87.
I know, but when I grew up, it was two games a week. That's all you watched.
Doubleheader. Huge, huge that they went to a doubleheader.
Yeah.
On Saturday nights. So
that was it. But so if you watch Saturday, because you'd miss it otherwise.
Yeah. So that was a wild game. The Leafs beating the Habs in overtime. And somebody had said, how dare you, Rod, say the Leafs are putting all their eggs in one basket with Marner, Matthews, and Thornton, because they got depth through the other lines. And lo and behold, what happened on the winner? Johnny Tavares, center of the second line, sets up the rushing defenseman Morgan Rielly for the game winner. Wayne Simmonds gets in a fight, turns around the game. Dare I say old-time hockey?
A little bit.
That's what it seemed like last night in that game. And then the other one, of course, the second game of the doubleheader, was the Oilers just soiling themselves in a loss to the Vancouver Canucks 5-3. I think it was only 2-1 after the second period for Vancouver. So they completely came unraveled. Dave Tippett just gnawing away on his lip after the game. Didn't you learn anything, Edmonton? Like I pointed it out last hour, I'll say it again for the people that are now watching on Game Plus. I saw the Oilers play in Anaheim, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, when Dallas Eakins was the coach, and they were like a novice team. Five guys chasing the puck in the corner all over the ice. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Last night, leaving guys wide open in their zone, blowing the zone, all gone, and the puck's still in their zone. What are you doing? Goaltending was an issue, suspect. I just wonder, is there something in the walls of the Oilers dressing room in Edmonton? Because these coaching GMs continue to roll, players too in a lot of ways, and the results are always the same. So they're very upset in Edmonton, the Oilers fan base, and I think they have a right to be. This is We waited a long time for that home opener last night, and they soiled themselves. But as we go to point two, there are 10 delicious games tonight, and that it includes a rematch of the Oilers and the Canucks. So tonight's a chance for the Oilers to completely redeem themselves. And my 5 points that I put on Twitter from opening night was, it was just one game. So if you're Avalanche fans or Blackhawks fans, Oilers fans, Penguins fans, because your team blew it, it's just one game. But on the flip side, you see coaches saying afterwards, we didn't have a training camp, or we didn't have a preseason, we had a short training camp, because the Philly-Pittsburgh game was very sluggish at the start. You got to admit the Leafs and Habs were not. They went 5 minutes and 10 seconds without a whistle to start the game.
Oh, I know. Zip, 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 zip. It was highly entertaining hockey.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
But for the coaches that are saying, that are putting excuses out there for the start, we saw this in the NFL and the NBA. Nobody's buying your excuses. Sorry. Like, I deep down want to, but no. People are getting paid millions to perform. It's a sprint, not a marathon. 56 games. There's no excuse to have been sluggish, listless, and in a lot of ways emotionless in some of those games. Not for one shift, let alone a period or a game. Producer Clark has asked me to ask you, can you ask everyone to comment with where they're watching from today? It's been a while since we did that, and we would love to ask our viewers, where are you watching from across North America today or around the world if you're watching digitally? Point two, the games that I'm most interested in tonight of the 10 are the Flames and the Jets. Of course, we're sitting right here in the Bermuda Triangle, right in the middle of all of them. That's the big one I'll be watching tonight at 7 o'clock Central from Bell MTS Center. And then, of course, the Oilers Canucks rematch I mentioned, and the Vegas Golden Knights. Canada's team! Oh, wait. You know what I mean. They're taking on the Anaheim Ducks, and I'll be watching that game, too. So it's another great night. Moving on to point three. Do we deserve a plan from the Canadian Football League? I'm just spitballing here. I'm not saying that we do. I want to know from you, do we deserve to hear something from the Canadian Football League? Because you got Pat McAfee coming out. People are still talking about the back and forth that we had. The big NFL media personality, he called the CFL dead. The quote was, it's dead, but it was awesome. Anybody want to stick up for the CFL? Anyone? They're dead. I've mentioned it a few times this week. Normally, we would be hearing about the winter meetings. We would be hearing about the winter Congress. I've been at it multiple times. It's just, there's nothing. And I'll get into the helmet sticker debate and division names of selling it. But again, the world's moving on without the CFL. They've moved on actually a while ago with the NFL and the NHL's playing. And I don't know if we need to hear what I would like to hear is somebody come out, preferably the commissioner, and say, we're playing no matter what. The playbook's been set up by the CFL, by the NHL and the NFL, and we don't know if there's going to be fans, but that's okay because we're playing. So we want to commit to our players and our sponsors and our stakeholders. We're playing no matter what. Wouldn't we all like to hear that?
That'd be amazing. I'd love to hear that.
But I'm not saying we deserve it. Not necessarily saying we deserve it.
No, and I buy into the philosophy or the fact that we don't deserve anything. Okay, no matter who we are, I think nothing is deserved or, you know, just that entitlement factor. But I do think it would be great. And wouldn't that go a long way? I mean, it would get me really excited. Probably start wearing a little more CFL gear around the show because I'd be thinking about it.
Right.
Probably look at buying tickets and making plans for Labor Day and maybe putting a hold down on a hotel room and different things like that. And if it all doesn't happen because the virus and the pandemic keeps going, then, yeah, cancel it. It's not going to happen. But at least it would get me excited and fill me with some hope.
Chris Bird's watching in the six. He says tons of players are getting signed by the CFL teams, so there's that. But you got to pay a close attention, Chris, which you normally do. It was Monday or Tuesday this week where I said, is this just window dressing? Did I get suckered in by this? Because you know if they don't play, those guys aren't getting paid. So right now, it's just paper transactions.
That's right.
If they don't play, they're not being paid. And it looks like a major league-wide PR push to put some positivity out there, but there's no guarantee. I want to hear the plan that we're playing no matter what. That's what I want to hear. And I'm getting a little annoyed because It has hurt this show that the Canadian Football League didn't play in 2020. You would not disagree with that.
Of course.
Right.
We have a lot of CFL supporters that watch this show.
Right. So you see where I'm going. I'm a little annoyed. Joe Lazito, watching from Merrick, Long Island, New York, with my lovely wife, Andrea. She's a classy dame. Joe's words, not mine, for the cancel culture. Moving on, point four. Helmet stickers / division names. I couldn't believe the belly aching last night that I saw on social media. Incidentally, if you get annoyed by what you're seeing on social media, there's an off switch on your phone. Use it. Just put it aside. Having said that, everybody's complaining. I'm seeing this. There's nothing sacred, blah, blah, blah. Look, we're allowed to sit at home on our asses and watch these games, not shelling out hundreds and thousands of dollars for tickets. And this is a means to pay the players. What is there to bitch about? I don't understand. Other than people just need a reason to gripe. Need I remind you, we went 4 months without sports last late spring and summer. Without sports at all. So this is what it's going to take. Why the bitching? Other than, I guess, people just need to bitch about something.
Yeah. I mean, we're worried about the integrity of the game, right? Naming divisions, throwing stickers on, making it look like, you know, you're watching the Spangler Cup, stickers here, stickers here, stickers on the pant legs, right? And being NASCAR drivers, and then you don't realize, you know, you lose that a little bit of that history, that integrity, that, you know, love of the game. But they've done it so tastefully, and I enjoy it. It works in the helmets, you know, with the Leafs, blue and white. It's a white Scotiabank logo. The bell, you know, is blue. It works with Montreal. They've kind of, for the most part, incorporated arena sponsors on the helmets, TD in Boston, the TD Gardens, that type of thing. So I like it. I really do. It's tasteful, and it's smart marketing. I think it's smart marketing because you're going to get a lot of kids that are going to be sitting there being like, Mom, Dad, I got to find a Scotiabank sticker to put on my helmet because Mitch Marner has one. And I want my helmet to look like Mitch Marner's or whatever Connor McDavid's wearing or, you know, whatever the guy's wearing in Montreal. Like, the kids are going to want to do that. It's going to look good. They're going to be going down to the store to get their sticker at the bank. It's good marketing.
Lauren Smith watching from Kamloops, former editor of the Vancouver Province and Sun. He says, I'm invested. CFL free agency and all the early signings, all signs point to business as usual. So there you go. There you go. I guess the CFL has made a statement by virtue of these player signings. You talk about the kids want to look like the big guys. This has been echoing in my mind the last few weeks. You said people like my stories, so here's one. I remember I was playing in a big tournament in Weyburn. I was a peewee goalie, of course. And I was like, Dad, I need a new Vic goaltender stick. And Dad's like, well, why do you need a Vic? Because it's $75. It's fiberglass. Why can't I get you one of these Sherwood ones? It's $20. And I'm like, Dad, it's got a curve in it, like Ron Hextall. They have the exact stick at this sporting goods store in Weyburn as Ron Hextall. White with Vic italicized in black letters and a curve in it. And Dad's like, farmer in the 80s, three boys, two of them going to university. And then me. You know what I mean?
$75, you're just going to break it.
Shelled out the dough. Get into the tournament at the Weyburn Coliseum. First shot. Crack!
No.
I look up at Dad in the crowd. One shot. Gone.
No.
But at least I look like Ron Hextall.
For one shot?
For one shot, I look like Ron.
And then it's, yeah, but Ron's got two. I need two, right? It's got to.
I don't think I ever got one of those sticks again. But the one thing was, no, wait a minute. When I turned 13, Dad made me buy my own goalie equipment, which was smart. Because it made me realize the value of money.
Oh, yeah.
I got a job at 13 to pay for my own hockey equipment.
You start thinking, okay, do I want the better stick or do I want to save it up so I can get the really nice mask? Or do I want, you got to really budget.
You got to be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. Point five, not all hockey is back. The AJHL expansion, Black Falls Bulldogs, tweeted that last night or yesterday. And their question was, name a team your favorite team that's not playing right now from the Black Falls Bulldogs, who's following me on Twitter. I'm following them. Whoever's doing the social media for them is doing a great job. They built a brand new rink in Black Falls. It's right between Red Deer and Edmonton, just off the number two. And there was a tremendous amount of reaction to who's your favorite team that's not playing. The point was, not the NHL's back, but not all hockey's back. I was beating that drum in July very loudly. Remember that? I've kind of given up because there wasn't a lot of support, even though I know all the hockey people were watching. They're just too damn afraid to say anything. But not all hockey's back, and I just want to point that out. Point six. Yeah, from the viewers here, Joe Jumbo Jet Gunnis is watching in Moose Jaw. He says, the question is, were you as aggressive as Ron Hextall was? No, never fought. I wouldn't hurt a flea. But I wasn't afraid to slash people. Rob Vanstone. Here's what my dad.
Stick between the legs.
My dad was a goalie for hire back in the day. He would go to the highest bidder just for the playdowns, the senior playdowns. You know how seniors like pro hockey back in his era? And my dad taught me, if anybody's standing in front of your way, you slash the hell out of their ankles. Even if they're on your own team. Get out of the way. That's from my dad.
Wow.
Yep. Moving on. Point six, NFL notes. There's news this morning. The Jacksonville Jaguars. I didn't get an... is this officially announced, Clark?
Yeah.
It's Facebook official? Okay. Jacksonville Jaguars have hired Urban Meyer, who's been around forever. Most recently, OSU Buckeyes is their new head coach, taking over from Doug Marrone. And while that is a very attractive job, he's got a big job ahead of him. But they're going to get Trevor Lawrence if they want him.
Yep.
Right? Number one quarterback. So there's some pieces there. That's news today from the National Football League. Chicago Bears owners have come out and endorsed the job of the head coach, Nagy, and the general manager. Matt Nagy and the general manager. But the fans aren't having it. I'm so impressed by Chicago football fans. They're incensed.
I know.
That the owner has come out and endorsed the coach and the GM in a year where they made the playoffs and lost in the wild card round in New Orleans.
You talk about Facebook, Urban Meyer, you know, in a new relationship. And for Matt Nagy, it's complicated. Like, so yeah. It works out. But, yeah, I love it. If they're passionate in Chicago. And then on the Urban Meyer thing, they could have him. Or he's the Ohio State Buckeyes coach. He was, Meyer.
Yeah.
He might want Justin Fields.
Recruited him.
So they could trade that number one pick for a boatload of assets.
This is the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL. Producer Clark is telling me our prized guest, Dave Randorf, the television voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, is loaded up and ready to go. He joins us next from the Sunshine State. Hang on, everybody. You're watching the RP Show, coast to coast on Game Plus TV Network, live daily on YouTube, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thursday morning coffee get-together. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues. The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. If you want to hit us up right here in the bunker, that is 306-840-8777. Viewer takeover coming up. But let's go down to sunny Tampa Bay, Florida right now. The voice of the Lightning, Dave Randorf, joins us. The 1-0 Tampa Bay Lightning. Good day, David. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rod. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Let me be the 1,000,000th to say congratulations on that highly coveted job with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And let's jump right into it. How was the half banner raising ceremony last night at Amalie Arena? I understand it didn't go all the way up.
No, in fact, it wasn't a banner raising at all. They wanted to unveil it. And quite frankly, I think they made a good decision on how to handle this. This game last night against the Chicago Blackhawks was obviously the opening night. It was the prime time, 8 o'clock Eastern slot of NBC's triple header. It was on national television down here. So, you know, originally they had planned to have fans up until about 4 or 5 days ago. Then the team itself announced, not with the input from local health officials, they said, you know what, let's not do this. It's not right yet. Let's go. Let's reevaluate in early February. So they reevaluated their banner plan because they wanted to. They say, you know, the old saying, right? The trophies for the owners, the rings are for the players, the banner is for the fans. And so what they decided to do was, because it's on national TV, because it's the season opener, they would unveil it. So you're right. They didn't raise it. They kind of just brought it up out of the seats and kind of suspended it over. And it remains there. It will remain there for the next several weeks, kind of halfway up, not even halfway up, maybe a third of the way up to the rafters. And it's all lit up. And because there's no fans in the seats, it can kind of hang wherever. So they did the official unveiling. It's a gorgeous banner, of course. The players were all around it. And they've said that they are going to wait until there are fans in the building until they crank it all the way up to the rafters, which I think is good. They also simultaneously did replica banner unveilings around Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, all the areas that I'm getting to know here in the last week. So this is a very fan-aware organization, I have found out in the last 7 days that I've been here. It is, you speak to anybody in the NHL who's familiar with how the organizations work, it's unanimous. This is a very well-run, starts from the owner on down, a very well-run first-class organization. They're very aware of their fan base, and that's why they've got such a strong footprint. So that's why they did it the way they did last night, Rod.
Tons of questions coming in from our viewers for you, Rambo. You know how loved you are across Canada. But on that point there, Bradenton, Florida, if you haven't been there yet, 38 miles south. And, well, the Riders have many camps. Well, no. The Riders have had many camps in Bradenton. So I've been in that area many times. Okay. And one thing I've realized that is the Bucks are here, but it's probably then the Lightning, then the Rays in their area. You see Go Bolts signs everywhere. I think a lot of people would not understand or appreciate that the Bolts are a really big deal in that area.
You know what? I think you're exactly right. I've worked in and around the NHL. I've had the privilege of doing that for many years now. So I've been all the rinks, all the markets several times. I'm not just saying this now because I work for the team and I'm the voice of their television telecast, but I've always loved coming here for a game. They've got a great pregame atmosphere. A couple of hours before, they got a big, what they call Thunder Alley, a section outside Amalie Arena where there's a great tiki bar. They have a band playing. They got a big screen going with pregame content. And the game plays out there as well while the game's on because the place is always packed. The game night presentation is second to none. The place is sold out 240, 50 straight nights in a row. It's always, and I'm telling you right now, if you want to make a road trip, it's a great place to see a game. And I think I've even been surprised since I've been here how big their footprint is. When you consider the Bucks are the NFL team, they got Tom Brady as their quarterback, they're hosting the Super Bowl. I'm not going to lie here. There are Bolts banners all around the downtown core where I'm staying right now. If you told me the Bucks were playing in a playoff game, their second playoff game this weekend against New Orleans, I wouldn't be able to tell from looking around the city, to tell you the truth. And I've been on lots of local sports talk radio stations. I've listened. And the Bolts are right there. The Lightning are right there, and they've got a large footprint here. And I have received so many messages from people I've never even met welcoming me to the team and the community and all that kind of stuff. I can really feel how connected this franchise is to this city and this area. So it's been a lot of fun, that's for sure.
You're right. It's a great destination for sports fans. Craig Campbell's watching, by the way, Dave, from the Hockey Hall of Fame in downtown Toronto. Yeah. He says, all the best to Dave Randorf and his new opportunity broadcasting the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's a quality guy for a terrific hockey market. And I think I speak for a lot of folks that wonder, Dave, how this came about, because it seemed completely out of the blue. Like, how far back does it go?
Well, thanks, Craig. He sent me a note as well, and I just spoke to his partner, Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup. He was here yesterday, and I saw him. So thanks, Craig. It's nice of you. You know what? When I'm replacing a gentleman by the name of Rick Peckham, who hockey fans may or may not know if you get the out-of-town market package. Rick's been calling games going back to the Hartford Whalers and the Tampa Bay Lightning for decades. He's going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's a Foster Hewitt Award winner. These are big gates to fill, if you will. So at the beginning of last season, Rick made it known, it was public, it was written about, that this was going to be his last season. I'll tell you a quick story. My very first trip to Tampa Bay, the first game I ever did here was 2003. I was working for TSN. I was in the booth with Gary Green, and we were bouncing around a different playoff series. Gord Miller and Pierre Maguire were doing the same on the other side, and we ended up coming here for a game. And I was struck by how, now this is 17 years ago, and this is before they won a Stanley Cup, either one of them. And I was struck by the awesome experience that it was. And you walk to the rink, it's beautiful, it's warm, it's sunny, the rink's packed. It was a great game, the crowd was amazing. And I walked out of the building into the warm air, and they were doing their post-game show on a set outside, and the people still were everywhere. And I walked over the bridge channel, which is right where I'm staying, looked back at the ring, and I thought, man, if Rick Peckham ever retires, I think I got to look into this. This is, and that is a true story. I think I even said it out loud to somebody at the time. And so anyway, 17 years later, he announces his retirement. And this is a coveted job by a lot of people. And I'm very fortunate to be the last man standing here. So I expressed interest back in the summer. They reached back out quickly, and we had a conversation, and there was a lot of nothing. And then there was another Zoom call, and then there was a big pause, and then they were winning the Stanley Cup, and then there was COVID delays and all that. So it took a while for it all to come together. It was actually, I'll be honest with you, it finally came and became solidified on New Year's Eve. So I think that's very appropriate too, for me personally anyway, to wave goodbye to 2020 and to say hello to 2021. So this is where it all came about, and I'm thrilled. I've never worked for kind of a team before, and it's exciting for me because they're the Stanley Cup champs. They're a good team. It's a great situation. And you know what, Rod? You've been in the booth. You know what it's like. You've been the voice of a team. I've never done that. We all started as sports fans, and then when you get into the business and the job that I've had the privilege of doing, you kind of lose the fan in you. All those years that I hosted the CFL on TSN, I grew up a BC Lions fan, and you kind of lose all that because you don't care who wins. You want a good game. We always want a good game, and I love the game. But you kind of lose the passion for who wins. And I'm looking forward to having that again, and it's going to be fun.
You know, what's funny about that is I'm gone back, and I often say I'm a fan at this desk. I've got my fandom back. And I think people can see how...
Okay, fair enough.
It's just flip-flopped, right? Like, now I'm sitting here every day, I'm watching the games, and I don't really have a rooting interest, Dave. But you know how time flies. I couldn't believe it's been 2014 since you left that job, right, with TSN. And what it tells me is the massive imprint brand that you have with the CFL on TSN and the panel, and that's where the questions are coming from today. They're all regarding the CFL, and let me just jump right into one. Somebody said...
Before you do this, and I want to hear, but you know what? My heart goes out to this entire province. I'm telling you right now, whenever I put something kind of out there, 70% of the love comes from Regina, Saskatoon, all around that province, and I think it has a lot to do obviously with the Rider fans and the Greg fans. So it's awesome. So go ahead. Thanks.
I know it's all good. TSN is massive, 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 massive here. Sportsnet too, but it's because of the CFL thing, as you know. But somebody said, who is the panelist you enjoyed working with the most, CFL on TSN?
Matt Dunnigan, it turns out, now lives just about 4 hours up the road, up the coast from me now. He lives in a place called Destin, Florida. So I'm not going to go there because, honestly, and I'm not avoiding the question, people always say, oh, what did you like better? Did you like doing being a host in the studio, or did you like calling games better? They're both two very different jobs, and most guys would probably say they love play-by-play because it's live, and it's the adrenaline of calling a game in a live environment. But I will say the hosting job I had was very special, and that's because of the four guys that I got to work with on a regular basis. I'm talking about Jock Climie, all still great friends of mine. Jock Climie, I'll go down the line there. Jock Climie, Matt Dunnigan, Chris Schultz, and then Milt Stegall came in after that. And, you know, that would include Paul Appelese and other guys that rotated in and out. But we had so much fun, so many laughs. I learned a ton about the game. And the stories these guys had and still do have, that was the best part. When you were all watching the game at home, we're sitting there and we put our feet up right on the set and wait for halftime. And we'd start telling stories. And I go... And I thought I'd heard all of their stories after 11, 12 years or whatever it was. And I go, that's a great story. We are telling that at halftime. And then we would tell it and people would love it. And it was all because of them. But I'm telling you, the biggest compliment we all always got, and I still receive to this day, is that it looked like we had a lot of fun. And we did. And I'm glad that came through because that was a very special run and time in my life. And The last game I hosted on the CFL on TSN was in Regina, that Grey Cup. So they won at home. So that's kind of special too. So I appreciate, it was a big part of my career, and I appreciate all the
But it'll never be forgotten, Dave. And that's the thing, is the longest talk you and I ever had was we were leaning against the wall of a salon wall at the Delta, and there was the coaches' news conference. Corey Chamberlain and Ken Austin. And it was so entertaining because I remember Julio Caravana leading over to me and saying, the look of disgust in Kent's eyes is hard to ignore right now with the dumb quest. Do you remember? Like, that was fun. You talk I'm sorry to say, potentially going out on top. I mean, the 2011 Grey Cup was very great for BC Lions fans. But as far as the Tom Hanks and the Martin Short and the storylines, that 2013 Grey Cup, not a bad way to go out on a high.
Oh, man, absolutely. I got a funny story about the Tom Hanks showing up there. So we get word that Martin Short has arrived, and lo and behold, there's Tom Hanks, and he's walking up and down the sidelines. Remember that? About an hour or 2 hours before the game. Remember how cold it was Saturday? Like deadly cold. We thought people were going to die, like even ourselves, because we were set up at our set at one of the temporary stands in one of the end zones. So anyway, Hanks is there. And because Brian Williams is very close with Martin Short, we hear that Hanks is coming up to the set. And we're like, wow, that's pretty cool. This is going to be great. Lo and behold, but they're telling me that, okay, but you got to get out of there. Brian's doing the interview. I said, okay, fine. I get it. It's Brian Williams, and we wouldn't have him otherwise. So fine. So he comes in. Now, I've been in my career, and you probably have been as well, around celebrities with this much, a fraction of the profile and celebrity that Tom Hanks does. And they come in with posse and people and don't look, don't touch, don't talk, don't pictures. He came in with Martin Short, just rolled in with him and his son, Colin, just high-fiving everybody, having a good time. And there are people right behind me, like they're actually up against my back almost, in the stands, and they're all like, whoa, it's Tom Hanks. And he immediately starts high-fiving everybody. So everything's going crazy. The whole day is fun. And he sits down right beside me. Jock gets up and he sits down. He goes, hey, how you doing? Who are you? I said, I'm Dave. He goes, great. I said, I'm actually getting out of the seat. Brian's coming in. He goes, whatever, it's all good. And I said, but I got to take a picture real quick. He says, no problem. So he puts his arm around me and I get my phone and I'm doing the selfie thing and I'm panicking. Like, I can't get the camera for some reason. I'm just blanking. And now there's this long, uncomfortable, pregnant pause with Tom Hanks doing, waiting for me to figure out my camera. Bottom line is, they hustled me out of the seat before I could take the damn picture. No! So I never got my phone. I know, it's so bad. He goes, no worries. We'll do it right after I'm done this interview. And lo and behold, he got up and everything. He left and poof. But I'm telling you, he was fabulous. What a nice, nice man. And that's one of my many, many memories of that weekend, that's for sure.
Have we not all had those moments? And there's Dave's. There's Rambo's. Right? Hell of a story. Hell of a story. You talk about other guys' stories.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, couldn't believe it.
Okay, last one. The assistant GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Al Murray, is a close friend of ours. He sat in that chair right there talking about the Lightning at the start of the year. He actually coached my brother in university hockey. I was so happy when the Lightning won the Stanley Cup, just for Al, because he's so good at what he does. What's the outlook this year? Are you getting a sense of pressure on these guys? Stanley Cup hangover, because it does happen, Dave. What's your outlook for the Lightning this season?
Well, first of all, quick word about Al. I go way back with Al to my days doing under-18s and under-17 events for Hockey Canada when he was at all of them. And I used to sit down at the beginning of one of those events, and we'd sit down for an hour, maybe more. And he would go through the entire tournament almost and tell me about guys. What a great guy Al Murray is, and very talented too. Hello, Braden Point, third-round draft pick. Anyway, the hangover. Well, judging by last night and their 5-1 throttling of the Chicago Blackhawks, I don't think there's any hangover. I think this is a very good team. It's a deep team. They're obviously going to be without Nikita Kucherov for the whole season. That's a big hole, but they still, having said that, they've still got incredible depth. The Stamkos, who had not played a full game since late February, remember, he was shut down before the pause happened, and then he only played 3 minutes in the Stanley Cup final. Had not played a full game since February, a goal and two assists last night. So he is motivated to get back to the level that he was at. And they've got the best goalie of the game, as far as I'm concerned. They've got an excellent D led by a guy who's a finalist for the Norris Trophy every year in Victor Hedman. and they've got that experience and a good coach. They've got a lot of the pieces to repeat again, but as we all know, you need more than just those pieces. You need luck, and you need to somehow navigate this season, which is entirely unique. I mean, they could have an outbreak out of the blue, and you never know what could happen. So they're going to have to navigate all that, but on paper, they're as good as anybody out there.
Awesome. Well, we'll be following. I'll be watching with my NHL center ice. David, you're so first class. We're so happy for you, man. Enjoy it. And hey, we might look you up when we're in the area.
Oh, hey, no problem. Come on down. Bring your Riders jerseys, and I would love to see you. But thank you very much, Rod. I really appreciate it. And congrats on this show, by the way. I tune in more than you know, and congrats on this. I'm amazed at your desk. It's just... Could you get any more stuff on your desk there? I love it. It's great. But thank you.
Thanks, Rambo. Appreciate it. It's a lot of thought has gone strategic placement here. It's all gifts. So, yeah, it's been great. Thank you, David. I appreciate it, man. All the best in 2021.
Thanks.
Dave Randorf joining us from Tampa Bay, the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Dupes joins us next. We've got a sports update coming up, viewer takeover, and then... a very important face-off that we got to get in for Ultimate Fan Zone and Mad Greek. It's been bubbling in us for a while. We'll be right back. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I do have a sports update coming up. It's brief. I put a photo on the show's Instagram page this morning. Clark took it of Dupes and I in our pregame meeting. And I said, what I say about the jerseys on the wall? Do you remember?
Yeah, you said the teams are going to be envious of this.
No, I said people are going to bitch about it.
Oh, yeah, because it's all because it's Rider jerseys.
Yeah, so
that's what it was.
So a viewer, Steven Sawchuk in Winnipeg, says, too many Rider jerseys on that wall. The jerseys are from Mike Abou-Meshrick and Gene Mikowski, by the way. But I just want to point out, my friends think it's quite funny and cute that if I ever allude to the Riders wear any Rider gear, the fans of the other teams just, rawr! The teeth come out.
I know.
Right? So I knew it didn't take long.
Nope.
The Bomber fans did not let me down. Sports update. It is the NHL season opener for the Winnipeg Jets and Calgary Flames. They will face off tonight in one of nine games around the league. Vancouver's in Edmonton in the other North Division matchup. In the NBA, Toronto and Charlotte will square off in Tampa. The James Harden trade is official. The Brooklyn Nets are landing the three-time NBA scoring champion from Houston. Cleveland and Indiana are the other teams involved in the four-way swap. Cleveland Browns coach Kevin Stefanski is back with his team after having COVID-19. He returned to the team's facility today, 10 days after he tested positive for the virus. He'll make his playoff debut Sunday when the Browns play the Chiefs. And the highest court in sports is blasting Russia for engaging in a cover-up of the cover-up in a desperate attempt to deny culpability for a state-sponsored doping scheme. The Court of Arbitration for Sports, the Court of Arbitration for Sport made its 186-page report public today. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with eight amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. To the Bat Phone, otherwise known as the Prairie Mobile Text Line, from Ray in the 6. Hey, Rod, I think you're 100% correct. I believe it is a major PR push by Ambrosi and the CFL. To your point, the teams are not paying a cent if they don't play. I don't think there is a plan B if they have to play without fans. Time to move into NFL Canada. That's from Ray in the 6. Brady in Saskatoon says, Rod, the Leafs' third goal has brought up my question today. Should the NHL consider making a rule where the play is blown dead if it hits the ref in the offensive zone? It appears way too open, especially where it redirects off the ref and bounces in front of the net, leading to a goal. My point on that, that rule's been the case since I've been playing hockey, since this dawn of time. Because it affected your team, you're mad. If the Habs scored a goal on that situation, you wouldn't have a problem with it. See how this goes?
It'd be tough luck, yeah.
Metal Shingle Guy writes in, says, listening in from the driveway, shovel in hand. 400 shows is a solid number, boys. Congrats. It's from Metal Shingle Guy and from Jim Wagner. Morning, crew. Toronto is 1-0. Stanley Cup parade is in the works. Go Flyers. Enjoy the day, all. Might point out that the Flyers are 1-0, too. But I'll never forget that video of Brian Burke. Like, I've seen the video of it, of him, like, got a tape measure out, measuring the widths of the streets for parade floats.
Yeah.
What can fit in Toronto? So funny. But anyways, a lot of fun coming out of night one of the NHL.
Oh, so much fun. And we saw the Stars back, too, right? Which is great. Crosby gets on the board. And
Sidney Crosby.
In the game with Philly. And, you know, Crosby's back. He's as good as ever. And then you see Stamkos, who, you know, had that wonderful heroic shift, scored a goal, never played the rest of the game in the Stanley Cup final. You know, and just being on the bench ends up leading Tampa to a Stanley Cup championship. But we're disappointed he couldn't play. He comes out from his signature spot, scores on a one-timer. Hockey's back. I love this stuff.
Yeah. Colin in Ottawa, can you put the comment up, boys? Colin says, we get that you are from Saskatchewan and cheer for the Riders and have more of their gear in your lair. No problem. I come here for the CFL discussion because I can't get it anywhere else. Ding, 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 ding. What's he won, Bob?
Yeah.
That's exactly it. But it reminds me of this. We're huge fans of Don Cherry growing up. Shoot, Grapes called Clark the other night. It's a story that we should bring Clark out here and tell himself.
Just dial like him up on his cell phone.
5 minutes before Clark went to air with his Squadcast podcast, phone rings, unknown number. Clark, Don Cherry here. That actually happened.
Almost fell off his chair. I thought it was a spam call. And almost answered it disrespectfully. What do you want? I'm going on air right away.
Exactly.
But didn't. Thank goodness.
I feel like this, doing a Clark impression. Then he goes on the air.
I would
just
too.
Got off the... I would too! Not call him. They're not laughing back here. It's funny, Clark. Now he's laughing. They're laughing. I'm just jealous I didn't get a call from Don Cherry.
No kidding.
But anyways, the point is, I read those books, as have you, and I've said I've got the ties and the videos. Well, he was a Boston Bruins fan. It didn't make me want to like the Boston Bruins just because Don Cherry liked them, but I got he was a Boston Bruins guy. And then he often would say that he was a Leafs fan. Right? It was very evident that Don Cherry wanted the Leafs to win.
For sure.
Right? And that, by the way, is fine. So, but I grew up reading those books, learning about Stan Jonathan and Terry O'Reilly and Jerry Cheevers and Harry Sinden, all because of Grapes. And so our base will be the Saskatchewan Roughriders for our CFL talk moving forward, but it's very evident that we are fans of all nine teams and the CFL, and I think the fans get that.
They oh, yeah. That. Don was, and still is, the NHL's voice. And has his teams. We can be the CFL's voice and still understand that we're originating out of this market.
You always say it better than I do. You sum it up better than I do.
We work well together.
There was something here. Monty in Saskatoon has written in, and just one sentence. He says, about the WHL season. There's a little conjecture here as we go to break right away. There's some. I'm very cognizant of the fact that we are on the air across all 10 provinces. So I try to not keep it hyper Saskatchewan, but the Saskatchewan Hockey Association put out a tweet this morning that there will be no hockey played until the end of March. And we're trying to discern if that includes the Western Hockey League or not, because it does go against what we heard from the WHL last week. So hang on. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that and we'll get to this face-off when we come back and continue viewer takeover. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, live on YouTube daily, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. And it's going crazy here. Chris Bird in Toronto says, rest in peace, 2021 junior hockey. I don't know about that. Hang on. Greg Klevgaard writes in and says, you guys do work well together like coffee and Bailey's. Rob Peterson writes in, no relation, but you'd think that we were related. He says, my two favorite broadcasters, Rod Peterson and Dave Randorf. Thank you, RP. You're my favorite sponsor. Okay, to face off, it's a hot button topic. There you go. For the Mad Greek and the Ultimate Fan Zone. And it's about helmet stickers. It's about division names. And a guy wrote me yesterday about our poll question. He was so upset. He goes, why would you put the division names for the sponsors? He goes, no, I'm not even going to take the time to go look them up. Scotia Division, Honda Division, Discover Division, Mass Mutual Division. We did it to be good partners of the National Hockey League and support what they're doing. Why are people so mad about this?
Because it's not the same. We love change when we want change, but we're opposed to change when it's not convenient for us, right? It was easy to north, central, east, west. That's easy, right? Now you're fogging it up and it's confusing. And I don't even want to open my mind to trying to figure out what they are, right? It's like going from Apple to Android. I can't figure this thing out, right? But you give it 48 hours, you got it humming.
It's like you've had it forever.
It's like you've had it forever, right?
Yeah. So with the helmet stickers, with Bell, apparently the Jets you're going to see tonight, the Jets will have Bell on their helmets. Last night, the Canadiens did. The Leafs were Scotia. Mm-hmm. Who cares, really? Is it really affecting your life? It upsets me, the amount of angst and vitriol that I'm seeing on social media regarding the NHL selling sponsorships so they can get on the ice and pay their players. What the hell is wrong with that? I think it's a societal issue. That's what the problem is right now, because I'm saying you're allowed to watch the games for free because they sold it to corporate Canada. And guys are, and now the trolls are writing in, what do you mean free? I have to pay for cable. I have to pay for center ice. I have to pay for internet for my app. Now you just want to argue. I guess my point is I want to see this continue, if they need to, forever moving forward. And maybe it will. Shoot, I'd like to see the North Division stay forever. The Scotia Division, and it won't because of the time zone difference. You want this to end?
No, I don't. I think for the division names, I do. You know, I know it was the Smythe Division and whatnot before, but that was for long periods of time, and at least for good chunks of time. What I want is I want for them not to get lazy, okay? I want for marketers to be good marketers. This helmet stickers, I love. It's great. It fits in the jerseys. It's going to be a home run. Kids are going to start having them on their helmets, or they're going to want their local advertiser on there. But what I want is for marketers and businesses and business owners to not be lazy. There's never a point where you can put your feet up. So just because you can put a sticker here, be like, some guy is going to say, or girl, well, we could double it if we put a second sticker. Oh, we could just put another patch here.
Of course.
We could just add a patch. And it's not good marketing. It's not good for the business. So you have to think about what's good for the business, what's good for the game, what's good for the brand. Make smart decisions. So I'm all over stickers, sponsorship on players and on teams, if it makes sense.
Ryan Schultz, watching from Manitoba, he says, Junior A hockey has had them forever. Jerseys and helmets. Doesn't matter. Craig Campbell at the Hockey Hall of Fame, congratulations to your milestone 400th show. You and all involved provide great entertainment, and your guests provide great information that educates all of us, fans of sports. Well, we're getting educated, too, along the way.
It's true.
I like to say we don't know what we're doing. Darren doesn't like when I say that. Maybe you know what you're doing.
No.
Sitting here every day having fun talking to our friends. It works. Who knew? And I feel like we could go another hour. Maybe we need to talk to Game Plus about that. Go to 3 hours daily. But we go off here, if you missed at the start, Yamamoto! Is that going to happen again tonight?
We need the clip.
We need the clip from Hockey Night in Canada last
Amazing.
Night. Or whatever they're calling it now. Wednesday Night Hockey, Hockey Night in Canada. I don't know. It was just a hell of a lot of fun, night one. And tonight is night two. We'll be here tomorrow to talk about a Football Friday. John Frenzy, Gus Frerotte, Tori Gurley, and Shaq Murray-Lawrence. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and noon Eastern here on Game Plus. Truth's in the coffee. It's Truth Serum.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.